Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We celebrate you, mighty Father. Thank you for the privilege to be here today to hear your word. Thank you for the privilege of salvation. Thank you for the privilege of having the righteous surround us every other day. Thank you for the mighty things you want to do today. We yield our lives to you. We ask that you speak to us. Let your word have a free flow today. And let everyone under the sound of my voice be transformed by your word. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. This evening we are taking a topic that is titled Faith Extinguishes. Faith Extinguishes. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, from verse 35 to 42. Mark chapter 5, 35 to 42. This month, by the way, is a month of faith for open doors. That is why you see us going in this dimension of faith. If anything is happening to you, but your faith remains intact, then you are secured. Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you. The devil have desired to sift you like wheat. Say, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. What he was trying to imply there was that I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail, because if your faith remains intact, no matter how mad the devil goes, there is still hope. But the moment faith is affected, then it's an emergency. So because we are in the month of faith and open doors, the Lord will have us discuss extinguishers, things that purpose to sift our faith. So it will do you a lot of good to listen to what God will have us deal with today. Tell your neighbor, are you ready? Mark chapter 5, 35 to 42. Mark 5, 35 to 42. He said, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. And he suffered no man to follow him. That means he permitted no man to follow him, except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of this ruler of the synagogue and seeth the crowd. That tumult there means the crowd. And them that wept and wailed greatly. That's the professional criers, the professional weepers. Because this was a burial, because the person was dead already. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Look at what happened next. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, see what Jesus was doing? He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, those ones who still have faith, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. Verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talita kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great, what? Astonishment. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. What are extinguishers? Maybe let's start with that. What are extinguishers? Many of us are used to the word fire extinguisher, so I will start from that. An extinguisher is a portable, typically metal container, like you all know, filled with water or chemicals used to put out small fires. Acting as a critical fire safety device, it works by removing oxygen, reducing the heat, or stopping the chemical reaction of a fire. Simply put, fire extinguisher is used to quench flames. So one day there's a fire somewhere. If this place is burning, we just get an extinguisher, just release it there. If you are well trained, that fire goes out immediately. So that will help you understand the word extinguish. What does it mean to extinguish? To extinguish means to put out, stop a fire, or completely destroy or end something, such as hope, light, or faith. It frequently refers to quenching flames, like I pointed out earlier. So what we are discussing this evening is, or are those things that can help put out the flame of your faith. Which means if there is any flame in your heart, or if there's any faith in your heart concerning anything, especially in this year of open doors, where you've heard words, you were here on Sunday, certain words you have said, you've made certain prayers, you are trusting God for great things, and suddenly certain things seek to extinguish or put out that flame. You see, as far as God has plans for your open doors, it's also important that you know that the devil also has plans for you too. So while God is planning to give you great open doors, like I taught you two Sundays ago, you will know that there are many adversaries whose plan as well is to ensure that you don't get that which God has planned and proposed. I don't know if there is need, but for me, for the benefit of doubt, I'll also go into the definition of faith. Faith, like I said earlier, is the conviction you have about God, the integrity of his person, and the corresponding actions of obedience that you take to commit God as touching his promise. So when God makes a promise, faith is born, like I said. Faith is hinged on the voice of God. So the moment God says a thing, faith is kindled in your heart. So he tells you that sickness is not unto death. You are healed. Your heart is jacked up to trust God. That is faith, because it's hinged on the spoken word. But that is not our focus today. Our focus is on faith extinguishers. So if you understood what extinguishers mean, or an extinguish mean, and you understand faith, then we will now join it. Faith extinguisher, what do they mean? Now, this refers to negative internal thoughts, external influences, or sinful behaviors that diminish or quench a person's spiritual passion, faith, and relationship with God. I repeat, faith extinguishers refer to negative internal thoughts, external influences, or sinful behaviors that diminish or quench a person's spiritual passion, faith, and relationship with God. They function like a fire extinguisher to destroy spiritual intensity, causing one's fire for God to go out. It was last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, that I took out some time with some of my ministers, and we gathered certain teenagers in a particular camp meeting, and we stayed there for 3 days. I'm trusting God it will happen here one of these days, because the honest truth is that at times when you come to service, you are rushing. The major thing that can fight faith is haste. If you want to enjoy God, you must learn to create time for Him. So, in that occasion, on the third day, I began to speak to these teenagers. And I told them, because apparently everybody was on fire, everybody was excited in the Holy Ghost, everybody was jumping, I could see the flames in their eyes. And I told them that the moment you turn on your phone, because one of the things we did then too was to switch off your phones so that you can concentrate. Told them, the moment you turn on your phones to step out of this place, I want to predict what will start happening. They were looking at me. And I told them, certain of you who had girlfriends in the past that you have kicked out, some of you who had terrible friends that you have told bye-bye, some of you had people who used to influence you to do certain things that you are not proud of, the moment you turn on your phone from this meeting, they will start calling you. Why? Because as much as God has plans for your life, Satan has those plans as well. And because your life has been ignited, there is a trigger in the realm of the spirit that says there is fire here now. And Satan will not watch you go about with that fire, because you become very dangerous to his kingdom. The moment you begin to burn and faith begins to enter your heart, you will cause a lot of damage for the kingdom of darkness. And so it will be so risky for the devil to leave you that way. If you believe he will leave you, then you are a joke. And so what happened? I remember one particular young man, the moment he left that environment, he got missing from church. He only showed up, I think, almost 4 months later. And I could see that he had lost everything God had just impacted into his life. And that is why this topic is very important. Every time faith is impacted into your heart, I want you to know there are certain things around you that want to swallow it immediately. So that takes me to common faith extinguishers. What are the common faith extinguishers? Number one, sin. Somebody say sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 to 2. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 to 2. We can't talk about faith extinguishers without first pointing to the word sin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. The number one thing the enemy always does every time faith builds up in your heart is that he begins to send you sin signals and compromise. Deliberate sinful actions or living in a state of disobedience separates a believer from the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the fire of the Holy Spirit, like I said on Sunday, is that thing that enables you to hear the voice of God clearly, so that you are able to bet faith within your hearts, to move mountains or walk into open doors that God has prepared. So one of the things Satan will always do is to send those things that is called besetting sins. Some of them are habits. Some of them are things that are, they look like weights, certain compromises, certain things that you know you should not do. And you know every time you indulge in it, suddenly you will fall from a spiritual high down immediately. And every time you do that, you come back to confess and say, Lord, have mercy. I shouldn't have done this. You just finish confessing and you are restored before you know it. Oh, a certain brother told us about how masturbation held him for years. Pastor, I've fasted, I've prayed, many things have happened. But once I am done, at times on the day I am stopping it, I will end my fasting with masturbation. And that can be a lot of loop. You keep going through that circle. For some of us, you just finished from Sunday service, your heart is filled with so much faith. You get home, and suddenly, just like Peter did to Jesus, your wife begins to make certain statements she should not make. Your husband begins to make certain statements that normally you should not make. And because you are not well schooled with these things, you will fall into that trap again. Every time you begin to pray and God is impacting faith in your heart, especially at home, one of the things you must watch out for is that your spouse will most likely make you angry. I'm telling you what we have observed several times. Every time you are trusting God for something big, you are about to see it. In the realm of the spirit, it is given, it's released. Sharp, we know it will happen. Before you know it, unnecessary offense will start happening. I'm telling you. Watch it. Watch what I'm telling you. People that should not get you angry will start getting you angry, start waking you up. And most times, people make the mistake to fall for that trap. It's a trap. Don't fall for it. Everyone that is held bound by that particular extinguisher is delivered in the name of Jesus. Number two is fear and worry. Fear and worry. Another extinguisher that the devil uses to hold men bound, not to allow them to touch the matter of faith in their lives, is fear and worry. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 32, it speaks of being not worried for what you eat, what you will drink. But I don't want to look at that one. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Please, I need a fast reader to make this thing very fast for me, please. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A particular version says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Life in itself, we throw a lot of things at you to make you anxious. Anxiety and the fear of tomorrow can kill the faith of a believer. But I've learned a trick. Rather than worry, what do? Pray. Listen, look up. Every time the temptation of getting worried comes to your heart, what do? Pray about a matter. Every time, I remember when I was praying for my wedding those days. Oh my God. Worry is meditation. It is meditating on the problem. You see this thing they call worry and anxiety? It is simply meditating on the problem. Fear is a product of meditation. Just like faith is a product of meditation. When you have faith, you are meditating on the word. But when you notice you are becoming fearful and too worried, you are meditating on the problem. The problem with worrying and anxiety is that at times you may not even know. Some of us will say it's planning. You are thinking, critical thinking. There is a thin line between critical thinking and anxiety. And Jesus says, you are not supposed to worry about, he said, take no thoughts for tomorrow. For tomorrow. For tomorrow we take care of himself. He says, sufficient to each day. He says, troubles thereof. But many of us cannot. I used to be a victim of this. God is still helping me. Some of us want everything to be perfect. Listen, in life, things will never be perfect. You must learn it. If you are waiting for perfect conditions, it will never happen in life. So we must guard our hearts against worrying and fear. Everyone that came into service today with a spirit of fear and worry, the Lord will deliver you today in the name of Jesus. Number three common faith extinguishers is what I call bad company. Bad company. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, bad communication corrupts, evil communication do what? Corrupts good manners. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10, and even in Mark chapter 5 verse 35 to 42, we show you this. If God wants to help a man, he sends people to him. If Satan wants to destroy a man, he sends people. If you look at my text today, you will notice that Jesus came with the ruler of the synagogue to his house. Initially, the man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Jesus said, I'm coming to heal her. As Jesus was going, at some point he was interrupted. A lot happened and he continued his journey to the man's house. Suddenly, a message came. Don't worry, the master, your daughter is dead. And Jesus declared immediately, the damsel is sleeping. Faith. But do you observe that the moment he came into the house, the wailers, everybody was there telling him, master is dead. And he said, she is not dead. They started laughing. Look up. There are friends in your life that as far as they remain in your life, you can't make progress. As a teenager who was looking for admission, I had some people around my life who made me feel as if I was less. I couldn't get it. So those days will tell me, if it's not you, as in, when I told them this is school I want to go to, ah, that school, forget it. That school, Red Sand School, what is there? Every time I was in the midst of this of people, I felt less of myself. Listen, there are people in your life who every time you leave their presence, you feel less. I want you to know, young people, that friendship is not by force. Friendship is not by force. And number two, you must choose your friend. If you must walk with God in this season to experience these open doors we are discussing, you must choose your friends. There are colleagues in the office that once you sit around them, before you know it, you open your mouth to curse Nigeria and speak against this country, curse Lagos, curse this, curse that. When you are done, you will leave empty. Let me tell you a hack. You can never be blessed by a country that you keep cursing. I have preached this for many years. People don't believe me, but I am telling you that every government since I became an adult and began to work, every government of Nigeria has favored me. Every singular one of them. If you work in an office, you must be careful what you say about that place. If you are always cursing and insulting your bosses, you will never be blessed by them. It's a secret, I'm telling you. So when people gather to curse Nigeria and say, Nigeria, it will never be better with this country. The country is useless. The country is that. The country is that. If you are smart, leave that company. Because the country will never bless you that way. There is a reason why the word of God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? In his peace, in his prosperity, you will prosper. I told us last Sunday to make sure you make it a point of duty to pray for this church. And why is that? When you pray for this church will favor you. I'm telling you a secret. I know men who have complained about the RCCG, said all kinds of things, complained, caused the system. This is this. Do you know what happened to this? They are not doing this right. They are always used. They have been there 20, 30 years. This church seem not to be favoring them. There are people who are coming here with their open hearts to serve God with joy. And I can tell you, this system has favored them. I've watched it happen. You must be careful with the company you keep. If the company you keep, every time you guys gather, is just to gossip and talk about what is not working, you will not go far that way. If you had any faith in your heart, it will extinct. They will kill it for you. Watch the company you keep. Relationships that draw one away from God or foster negativity should be avoided at all costs. If Jesus could not tolerate a faithless company, neither can you. Put them out. Are you listening? There are friends in your phone you will need to delete today if you want to be serious with God. There are friends you can't keep having if you will go far with Him. Watch your company. Every friend hanging around your life that will not let you go far, the Lord will kick them out in the name of Jesus. Number four, faith extinguishers that I picked here is what I call historical reports. Historical reports. First Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9 talks about Jabez. He was unable amongst his brethren, but the mother called him Jabez because she said, I bore him in sorrow. What does that mean? According to the report of your birth, imagine I wasn't there when I was born. But according to the report of your birth, you are called, you gave me too much sorrow. Therefore, your name is Jabez. How terrible a parent can be. It looks like it's Jabez. I have met people whose parents kept on telling them, you are not good enough. You're a mistake. Your father and I had stopped having children before you came. So you just came and just disturbed us. If you keep hearing that from your father or your mother, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, it will affect your mind, I'm telling you. Because they are a people of authority. While we will get to the point where we'll be asking the Holy Ghost to do something in our hearts, but I tell my people, don't repeat that same mistake to your children. While I don't want to start going back to blame your parents, it has happened. It could be a limiting factor, but you must not repeat the same to your children. Because we must end this loop in our generation. Where parents are comparing you. Is that not Emeka? Is that not your mate? Is that not Wally? I told my wife, all my children don't have mates. In fact, you don't even compare two of my kids. They are all special in the way they were made. Because the more you keep comparing them, the more you keep setting them up for trouble unnecessarily. Never compare your children with anybody. They are special in their own way. So if you are being compared and they told you when you were born, this thing happened, and those things have a way of extinguishing faith from you. It has a way of creating a self-image, false self-image in your head. So when you see things, like I was talking on Sunday, that you can easily take advantage of, you will tell yourself, I'm not good enough. Some people have been given jobs, contracts, and giving flight tickets to come. Or giving money for flight tickets. They will never spend that money on flight tickets. For what? How will I enter flights? No. What will I do? Let me go and do night. Why? I never reach. Tell the neighbor you are good enough. One of these days we'll have time to spend on this. Exodus 14, 9 to 12. It will show you a report as well. When they got to the Red Sea, Israel began to talk. Was there no graves in Egypt? Be careful when you start referring to the past. If you want to make progress, you must face giants. Stop referring to the past. We ate cucumber and what's it called, garlic in Egypt. Past records. God is saying, march forward. He says, no. We ate. Moses, did we tell you we want to come out? Oh my God, what trauma. Many people cannot keep a relationship because of the traumas of the past. They had broken up with this person. They are now with a new person. When this person says simple things that mean no harm, they will not say, that's how all the men are. I've heard men has come. I've heard they say men has come. Why? Because Brother Chooks broke your heart in the past. Therefore, all the men are what? Scum. Do you know how many men we have in this world? So your sample size, this is an academic environment. 2 or 3 men broke your heart. Therefore, all the men, you use this thing to now extrapolate that all of us are what? Scum. And when you do that, when the good man comes, you won't see him. Because that thing will chase him away. There's a particular sister who says in fellowship, we are trying to play with her. Just simple play. Like, you know, I just want to play with her. Hey, no, stop that. That's how all of you are. You like beating people. How did beat enter this matter now? Why? When I checked, I noticed that her parents, the father used to beat the mom. So she doesn't know it has entered into her. She now believes all the men, that's how they beat women. So because your father used to beat your mom, you now assume that all the men beat their wives. For some men too, they saw their mom dominate their father growing up. And so they made up their mind, I'm going to show every girl. So he's in a relationship, he's looking for what to do to that girl, just to put her down. Meanwhile, the lady is just doing her being a lady. But you want to put her down to show how you are. I am the man of this house. Nobody's arguing with you. We know you are the man. When you start shouting, I'm the man of this house, it's possible you've lost your position as the man. Because I should not be shouting, this is my phone. It's my phone, I know. I'm not arguing. Every trauma of the past coming from historical reports in your life, the Lord will deliver you from them in the name of Jesus. Number 5, faith extinguisher is what I call unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, 12 to 15. And John chapter 5. No, and Romans chapter 12, 19 to 21. Matthew 6, 12 to 15. Can I have that in the Bible? Matthew 6. This is very key. 12 to 15. It's very important. I read it, please. Matthew 6. Who is my reader? Read for me, please. Matthew 6. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Next. 13. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, what will happen? Your heavenly Father will also do what? Forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, what happens? Their trespass, neither will your Father what? Unforgiveness and bitterness is a cancer that destroys the bearer. Oh, I have pastored amongst young people and I know what this can do to people. Listen, if you refuse to forgive even your father or your mother or that boy or that girl who broke your heart, you are killing yourself from within. It's like a poison. You are killing yourself from within. That is the worst thing you can do to yourself, unforgiveness. Of course, you already know that if you harbor people in your hearts, God cannot forgive you. So it will be impossible to hear the voice of God. Listen, many people who say issues are deliverance cases is hinged on this. I'm telling you from experience. Unforgiveness creates an inroad to demons into your heart. I'm telling you. Unforgiveness makes your life comfortable for demons. Forgive this man, Pastor, over my dead body. It will be in heaven. It's only God that can settle this matter. Only God. I was telling someone today, I said, every man will repent. It all depends on when you... It's either you repent on earth or you repent in hell. But everybody in hell has repented. I hope you know. You won't need more than 2 seconds in hell to start repenting. Everybody who enters hell will repent, must repent. They are all repented now as I'm talking to you. So it is better you repent now on this side of eternity as against doing it in hell. Unforgiveness holds the holder or the bearer down. You are not able to pay this. I'm telling you. Unforgiveness holds you down. It makes you unable to access the Father, and it ultimately destroys your faith. It holds you down. You cannot access the Father. Your faith is affected. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30. Let us look at that place. Proverbs 14 verse 30. Let me show you something there. Proverbs 14 verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, unforgiveness, bitterness is the rottenness of the bones. Do you see it? We were in a pastor's retreat one day, and someone said, I have noticed that there is a connection between unforgiveness and cancer. I was shocked. I began to think about it. Many women who are offended with their husbands, who carry it in their hearts, he did this, he did that, he cheated, or he did one thing or the other, check them. Most times they end up with cancer. When I heard it, I went to start thinking. Honestly, I was shocked. I could trace it. No, don't believe me. Just go and do your own search. I was shocked. I'm like, what is happening here? I could see the trace. They'll be telling you, your father did this, your father did. Before you know it, he's down with cancer. I'm telling you. You don't need it in your life. Learn to forgive. Tell your neighbor, I will forgive. Number six, extinguisher is laziness. Laziness. Romans 12 verse 11. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. I'm discussing faith extinguishers. Laziness is a major faith extinguisher. Romans 12 verse 11. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, not lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. John chapter 5 verse 17 says, my Father walketh, hitherto I too am walking. That means Jesus was a workaholic. He worked hard. Neglecting spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, and reading the scripture is a sure sign that your faith will soon drop. This morning, I was going to work, and in fact, before I left for work, very early this morning, but almost 6 a.m., the first call I got, I couldn't pick that call at that time. Someone called me from China. As in, the guy was calling and calling. I said, what's this? As I'm heading to work, I called him back. He said, sir, someone I preached to before and all that. He said, sir, I have an emergency. I said, what's that? He said, sir, I don't know why I don't have the hunger to pray anymore. I want to pray, but I can't pray. I have tried everything and it's not working. Help me. We began to discuss. But let me be honest with you. I told him, that thing that made you call me is a sign that you are still alive. Listen, when you are in problem and you know that it's an emergency, it shows you are alive. We watched a movie last Wednesday here, right? That thing that was making that guy cry is a good sign. It shows that he's still alive. Listen, you should be worried when your hunger for God is lost. I repeat, when you check your life and you notice that your hunger for God is lost and you are not worried, you are dead widow. The proof of life is hunger. One of the things I told him this morning is, my brother, you will need to create a structure around your spiritual life. If you are too lazy to pray, too lazy to study the Bible, too lazy to fast, week in, week out, you don't fast a day, you are in Noah's Ark, you are even a worker. Every week, if I ask you, when do you fast? You don't have it. It's an emergency. You can't. This thing we call faith is a substance in a man's heart. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. How do you build it? You build it by a structure. It is hard work. For the last 3 years of my life, every night, almost, I can say every night, prayer goes on in my life. Every night, whether the sun is shining, whether the rain is falling, every 12 midnight we are awake. Whether I feel like it, whether I don't feel like it, every night, 12 midnight, we are awake. Why? I noticed that our cousins, whether they make sale for the day or not, they are praying. Have you noticed? Many of you don't know what I'm talking about. I have gone to buy dollar from Aboki. Dollar. As Aboki was about to count dollar, it was time. He said, "Oga, are they come?" As you are talking, he has left you. You are discussing millions in business. He's leaving you. So in the north, when it's time for prayer, they park their cars on the road. Are you aware? Just take a tour at Alabaragoya and see what happens on Fridays by 2 p.m. They are at work during meetings. You need to see how they say, "Excuse me," as you are talking, they are leaving you. They are standing up during meetings. They are going to pray. You know why? It's a structure. But the average Christian wants to be professional. The average Christian says, I'm too busy. I'm so tired. Listen, if you are a lazy Christian, you don't have a future in this kingdom. It's unfortunate. I wish there is another way around it. But your prayer, fasting, and word life must be taken apart from your feelings. Many of you pray as the Spirit leads. I have engaged many young people. How do you pray? Sir, is when as the Spirit leads, sir. And you're asking this person, do you go to work every day, sir, as the Spirit leads? There is nothing worthwhile that was built without a structure, guys. I have not seen nothing yet. Anything worthwhile must be built with structure. That is why you got into the university and graduated. It's a structure, sir. We don't go to lecture when we feel like it. Oh, those days in secondary school, there are times you wake up like this. Oh, and the wind, you know those wind? The thing is blowing. And your body says stretch, stretch. But you know that 7 o'clock must... You have to be on the road. How come your prayer life was left to chance? How come you don't fast? You only fast when the Spirit leads. How come you left the study of the Bible for when the Spirit, sir, when I feel like it, when the thing comes? Look up. That man who wakes up or who has a time for prayer and tells himself every day at this time, I must pray for, even if it's 10 minutes, is better than that one who wakes up as the Spirit leads one day and prays for 2 hours or 4 hours and say, today the Spirit lead me, and we leave it till the Spirit leads again the next 4 months. Can't compare. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you from my little practice that when you begin to create a structure around your spiritual life, the Holy Spirit will begin to help you. The moment you decide from this night, I must create a structure around my spritual life, enough is enough. And let me be honest with you, if you think you don't have time, keep wasting your time. There will be a day when trouble will come. There's something they call the day of trouble. See, everybody, I hate to preach this, but unfortunately, that's a fact. Everybody must have what is called the day of trouble. May your day of trouble not meet you without a structure, guys. May it not meet you. May you not need prayer when you start praying. May you not need it. When you're not calling, please help me pray for me. Pray. May you not need it. So what do? Spiritual men are men who build structures around their lives. They are men who don't allow just anybody to be their friends. They are men who are careful about those who come into their lives. And they are men who have structure. Just close your eyes. I don't know if any of these things are found in your life. As I was preparing this, the Holy Ghost was also talking to me. You want to ask the Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. There is a way, there is a race I must run. There is a race I must run. There is a race I must run, Lord, help me. As true soldiers of Christ, Paul refers to us as soldiers. It means laziness cannot be tolerated. Many of us have gone to service in camp by 4 a.m., 3 a.m., these soldiers walk into your camp, your hall, and chase everybody out. Why? As a soldier, we walk by structure. We don't walk by feelings. For 1 year, we were soldiers. We saw how it works. The drill, for me, those days in camp, there was rain in my camp. We were coming out with our khaki every other morning. Soldiers didn't say no because of the rain. Let's just leave. No, we came out and stood. Why? As a soldier of Christ, we must endure hardship. Can you talk to the Lord and say, help me, Lord? Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Every faith extinguisher in my life, hidden anywhere within my system. Is it laziness? Is it bad company? Is it any kind of weight or sin in my life? I know that this thing is bad, this habit is bad, but somehow I can't stop it. I can't help myself. Lord, help me. Help me. That sin you don't stop today will stop you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. Help me, Father.